Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us. We pray that today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks will be a half hour of hope for your life.
And that's our prayer. It's more than a tagline. It's more than a theme. We really do pray that hope will flood into your heart, mind, soul, and strength as a result of spending this half hour with us. We just want to welcome you today. We know that radio is a very personal medium. Hopefully, you feel that we are companions with you in Christ. If you do not know Christ, I pray that you would allow Grayson, my son, and myself, his dad, to speak to you personally on behalf of Jesus. We pray that today will be a very direct study, and it will answer some questions maybe that you have in your heart. But we want you to know that you matter. We believe that Jesus would have come to this earth if there had just been one soul that needed saving. Because in the Scriptures, we read in the Gospels, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Would he give the whole world? And so I believe that God has given his value in that verse, that a whole world is not worth more than one soul. For God so loved the world, and you can just put your name in that slot, for God so loved you, me, Grayson, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, so we can put our name there. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn Kerry, Grayson, or you, but he sent his Son that he might save us through his Son. And that is our desire today, that hope will be enlarged, enhanced, in this half hour that we have together. Grayson and I have been on WBTX for quite a few years now, and we believe that God is using each session, week after week, each broadcast for his glory. We believe that only eternity will reveal that. We don't measure effectiveness ourselves. We just give our best to God, and we trust him to take our best and add the rest and do the things that only eternity can reveal. So pray for us whenever you pray that this program will be an outreach of the heart of God, and that people who are seemingly hopeless will come to know that there is hope in the one called Jesus. Today we're going to return a little bit to a series we've been in, a series of sorts. We've been in the Psalms of the Old Testament. And our encouragement is that we not just read the Psalms, not just know the Psalms, but that we would actually even pray the Psalms as if we had written them ourselves. And I believe the psalmist, David for the most part, but there are some Psalms, of course, that were written by others. But we know that King David was a worshiper. And you can't worship without praying. And I believe that many of these Psalms are actually the prayers of David to God. And so we join him in praying these prayers. Today we're going to look first at Psalm 124. Psalm 124, I'm going to be in the New Living Translation of God's Word. Grayson will be in God's Word Translation of God's Word. So if you hear a little different verse here and there, we're just taking different takes on it. But I think you will see that the Word of God speaks true. And we pray that it will speak to us and then to you. Psalm 124. What if the Lord had not been on our side? I'm just going to stop there. Grayson, when you think about this idea through your life, through my life, through our lives, that if the Lord had not been with us, if we had not been with him, what in the world would have been the answer to the question of our lives?
Well, I don't really want to even think about it, but I would think that there's a good chance we might not even be here. Actually, since he created us, we certainly wouldn't be here. But just to think about the hard times that we go through, we all have different hard things that we deal with in life. To think about going through those things without God is something I don't even want to think about. And there's a good chance we might not even be here if he hadn't have been on our side.
Exactly. I mean, we have come through the mind of Christ. I believe that we were formed based on the vision of God. He looked ahead in time and saw us. But I am thinking also that apart from Christ, there would be no hope in the world. We started the program talking about, we hope this will be a half hour of hope for your life. And we can tell you that hope is not a thing. Hope is a person. It's Jesus Christ. So if we take the word hope, Grayson, do you think that we would have any hope in our lives if we did not have the Lord who was for us?
I don't think that we would have any hope, at least not any true hope, not any hope that lasts. Because if we put our hope in other things, they're all earthly things, all things that will come and go. And so we wouldn't have any true hope, any hope that would be rooted, so to speak.
That's right. We might have wishful thinking, but wishful thinking is not synonymous with real hope. And we know that we can't live without hope. Some people are trying to do it. They're not really surviving. They're sort of here. Survival, spiritual survival, requires hope. And Jesus has come to this world, and he is our hope. Hope has a name. It is Jesus Christ, our King. I want to continue reading. I'll pick up with verse 1, but read a little further. What if the Lord had not been on our side? Let all Israel repeat. What if the Lord had not been on our side? When people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. You know, there's an old song, Grayson, that I used to sing when I was much younger, but I've never forgot the words to it. Had the right man not been on our side, all our enemies would have swallowed us alive. And it comes right out of this passage. And we realize that we are no contest for the enemy of our souls. And if we did not have the Lord, if we did not have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if we did not have the everlasting Father, Almighty God for us, then the enemy would not only have had our lunch, but he would have had us for lunch. And I think that's what the psalmist is saying when he says, what if the Lord had not been on our side? All our enemies would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. And I think, Grayson, the psalmist is saying here that our enemies would become like a great storm to us. You know, the East Coast and even down toward Texas and Louisiana, and especially the Caribbean islands and Puerto Rico, they've been experiencing in this past season hurricanes, storms that are devastating. And I believe the psalmist here, when he talks about the waters would have engulfed us, a torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. Basically, what the psalmist is really saying is that we would have been in a hurricane, a mother of all storms spiritually, and we would have not survived. When you think about the psalmist using this symbolism, this illustration of a storm or heavy water drowning us, what comes to your mind about your own life, Grayson, or maybe about the lives of those of us who are human beings?
Well, Dad, when you're talking about being in a terrible storm like a hurricane or earthquake or tornado or something, I was just thinking about if God had not been on our side, then we would almost be in that type of storm without any type of protection, so to speak. And so we would certainly be destroyed. And also another thing that sticks out about part of the passage you read, it says Israel should repeat this about if God had not been on our side, meaning it was almost like an emphasis put on it, like we should pay attention to this, we should not forget this, we should repeat this to ourselves, that if God had not been on our side, meaning we should remind ourselves how grateful and thankful we should be that God is on our side.
Oh my, yes, we can take his presence for granted in our lives, and how tragic that is. And in my mind's eye right now, perhaps there's just someone listening today, and you're like, well, I don't think the Lord is on my side. What am I going to do in the storms of life? And that's a devastating feeling. But I want you to know the Lord wants to be on your side by bringing you onto his side. And you know, his team wins. We read the end of the Bible in Revelation, and we find out that even though evil will have its way and hardship will come to this earth, that those who belong to Jesus will be saved for forever. And so if you are trying to fight your battles alone, if you are battling the storm all by yourself, we bring hope to you today. I don't know what kind of storm you might be in. Maybe it's a physical storm. Your health is failing. Maybe it's a financial storm. Your resources are running out. Perhaps today you're in mental anguish, or perhaps you're in an emotional uproar. Maybe you're in relational trouble. Some of the relationships in your lives have really turned into hurricanes of sorts. Well, I would ask you, invite you kindly and with love, but with great passion and insistence, that you would invite Jesus Christ to come and be your defender against the enemy, and that he would come and be your refuge in the storm. I pray that today with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, that you would come to know that there is a God who loved you so much that he allowed his only son to come to this earth and to take on the great burden of your sin and to turn you back to him, and that he has no desire to condemn you. He only wants to save you from condemnation and destruction. And this is the God of the universe, but he's a very, very personal God through his son, Jesus Christ. So today, I hope you were praying as I was talking there. I felt like the Lord was just giving that directly to me for someone. And I pray that you'll know that Grace and I believe that this half hour will be well worth our time and our preparation if one soul gets hope during the duration of this broadcast. We'll go on now to a little further, maybe a little deeper in the well of Psalm 124. Verse 6, praise the Lord, who did not let their teeth, our enemy's teeth, tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken and we are free. Our help is from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, in that part there in verse 7 that talks about we escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. I have bird feeders in my backyard, and more recently someone gave me a bird feeder that has like a little cage around it. It keeps squirrels out of the bird feeder. But one day I came home and a little sparrow somehow had got his wing entangled in the squirrel device and he could not get out. And he was flailing and he was just trying his best, but he was just hung up. He was trapped. He was ensnared. And I went over, I love birds, I especially love sparrows. I love the song, His Eye is on the Sparrow, and I know he watches me. Maybe that's why I'm so tender towards sparrows. And I went over to that little English sparrow, and I just began to talk real softly to the bird. I know that may sound weird to some of you, but I reached in, I put a glove on my hand so it would be very soft. And I just begged that little sparrow to relax and trust me, and I would take him out of that trap. And sure enough, that little sparrow got very still and very quiet and did not fight me at all. And I was allowed to free its wing from the trap, from the snare. And ever since that day, once in a while, I'll look out in the yard and see that bird feeder. And I've not seen another bird trap since. I'm glad for that. But I'll look at that bird feeder and I'll think about that day and I'll think about my own life and how I, like verse 7, I was in a hunter's trap, as a bird would be, and the trap was broken and I was set free. And so the nail-scarred hand of Jesus reached in and said, trust me, and he freed me from the trap that would have been my destruction. Grayson, when you think about verse 6, 7, or 8, is there anything there that you'd like to highlight?
Well, Dad, I was thinking about how if the Lord hadn't rescued us, if he hadn't sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, to set us free, that we would still be ensnared or still be caught in the trap, so to speak, that the enemy has set for all of us to try to get all of us to fall into his trap. But because of how much the Lord loved us and sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, we don't have to be ensnared. We don't have to fall into that trap. We can be set free. But that wouldn't have been possible if the Lord had not sent his son Jesus to die for us. So that's what I was thinking about when you were talking about a bird who had been set free from a trap.
Exactly. And he came, and actually he gave up his freedom so that we could have freedom. He gave up his freedom on the cross. I mean, he became obedient to a cross. When you think about the very Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming to earth and giving up his freedom, becoming one of us, we did the crime, he did the time. And certainly, the only way we are freed from the snare, the trap of destruction is that he allowed his own life to be destroyed so that we might be free from sin and we could belong to him for forever and today. Praise the Lord, who did not let their teeth tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken and we are free. Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That last verse, Grayson, is a beautiful benediction to Psalm 124. Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Is there any way in your life that you'd like to testify that the Lord is your help, Grayson? That the Lord who has made heaven and earth is your creator, and in some way he's helping you in life?
Well, Dad, he first of all, gave me life. He gave us all life, but he saved my life when I was 4 months old from death. But he is the reason, you know, why we all live. And he just, I think, helps us every day in ways that we don't even think about or don't even realize. He gives us hope, you know, even in our circumstances. He lets us know that he's with us and within us, and that it just sometimes gives us a peace in certain situations where we shouldn't have peace. He just, you know, gives us joy even when things aren't going all right. So I can't maybe think of a specific reason right off top of my head, but I'm sure there's many reasons how he helps me day to day that I don't even realize it.
Well, he gave you life and he continues to give you life. And that is the greatest help. He doesn't only give us our physical breath, he gives us our spiritual breath. And you know, I think in heaven, Grayson, we'll find out all the ways he was helping us all along. And we just had no idea it was him. We didn't know what the enemy had planned for us, but he stood in front of the enemy and said, "No, you will not." Sometimes God allows some brokenness and hardship to come our way. Even our health can be bad. But he will get good out of it ultimately. We just must trust him. We must trust him through the storm. And while the enemy is trying to destroy us, we must trust him because he will carry us through. He has promised that he will not leave us or forsake us. He has promised, "Surely I am with you to the very end of the age." He has promised us, "I will not leave you as orphans." And this is the promise of our God. Our help, all of our help, is from the Lord, because the scriptures say every good and perfect gift is from above. And I pray today that God will give to you every indescribable gift that you need in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, the one who took your place on Calvary, the one who took my place of execution on a cross of crucifixion. I pray that today for you and for us. We're going to roll into another psalm now, Psalm 131. So we'll jump from Psalm 124 to Psalm 131. These psalms have a couple of things in common. They are called psalms of ascent. That means that the pilgrims, the worshipers, during the times of the Old Testament, they would sing these songs on the way up to Jerusalem to worship God. And even when I lead trips today to the Holy Land, in these days, we sing psalms of ascent as we're driving the bus from Jericho down near the Dead Sea and up, up, up incline, up, up, up incline to Jerusalem. And we will sing some of these songs, or we will read them as we are on our way to that place of worship. So Psalm 131, "Lord, my heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord now and always." We're going to take a few of these verses and just talk through them a little, see if we can understand them at a deeper level. First verse, "Lord, my heart is not proud." What do you think the psalmist is saying when he says to God, "My heart is not proud"?
Well, Dad, if we're not proud, then we don't have pride in ourselves. We're not arrogant. We're not boastful, so to speak. But we're putting our trust in God and knowing that he's responsible for all our success or all our strength for all the good things that happen to us. It's not because of us, but it's because of him.
Yes, sir. That's a beautiful, beautiful commentary, Grayson. And the sense is, I think the psalmist is saying, I'm not trusting myself. I can only trust you. There are so many things beyond my understanding, beyond my comprehension. And I want you to know right off the bat, God, that I'm not proud. I'm not conceited. I'm not going to be arrogant. I am just going to look to you. And there is probably no greater sin than the sin of pride, because pride keeps us from trusting God. We put our trust in ourselves or some other uncertain and unreliable source. And so I think David is saying, as the worshipers are coming, Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. Now, eyes can kind of give away your countenance. And the idea of haughty eyes, it kind of complements, if that's a good word, the idea of proud. Proud may be how we act mostly toward God. Haughty eyes is to look down also on other people, see ourselves as superior. And David is saying, Lord, my heart is not proud, not toward you, and my eyes are not haughty. I'm not looking down on others. Now think about this. This is King David, and it would be easy for him to look down on other people. But he wants the Lord to know that the pride that might come with this position has been crucified. It's not part of his life. Lord, my heart is not proud and my eyes are not haughty. I'm not looking at you like I don't need you, and I'm not looking at others like, don't you wish you were me? Goes on to say, I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. So what might he be saying, Grayson, when he says, you know, God, I'm not concerning myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp?
Well, he's focused only on what the Lord has set in front of him. Maybe he's taking things one day at a time, or he's trusting God with his task. He's not trying to do more than he knows he can do. And you were also talking about not looking down on others. It's kind of a two-pointed sword, so to speak. First of all, you're not arrogant. You're not boastful. You know that God has given you the strength to do what you can. And also, you're not looking down on others, meaning maybe you're thinking of others as better than yourself, so to speak, as the Bible says, or you're not putting yourself above others.
Exactly. And that's what we want to be careful in doing. Some people don't realize that if they're wrong with people, that'll make them wrong with God. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So the sense is that we cannot be one way to God and another way to people. And David is making this clear in his confession. This psalm is a confession. Lord, my heart is not proud. I need you. And my eyes are not haughty. I want to be to people tender, and I want to be humble. And I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. In other words, you are God and I am sod. I've heard that said before. You know, we are made from the dust of the earth. And so it's easy for us, and it's exactly right for us to say that he is God and we are sod. Another way of saying it is he is God and we are not. In Psalm 46 and verse 10, the scripture says, be still and know that I am God. I heard a preacher say one time, his rendition of that verse went like this. Be still and know that I am not God. And so this is what I believe David is saying here. He is saying that you are great, God, and there's no way that I could ever have the comprehension of creation or anything else like the Creator himself. That would be you, O holy God. Verse 2, instead I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. And so the idea is that he's maturing. That's what he's saying to God. I am calm and quiet in your presence, Lord. I'm not screaming because you have caused me to come to a place of maturity, and I know that you can be trusted. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. In other words, I know that you have provided, you have led me, you have taught me, and I am growing in relationship with you. The final verse, verse 3, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, now and always. Grayson, say as much as you want to say about that.
Well, Dad, verse 2 that you read about being calm and quiet and being content, so to speak, is, you know, being satisfied with what God has given us and being content in what he's doing in our lives and being thankful, maybe being reflective on what God has done for us and what he is doing for us, like you were saying, like a child who's in its mother's arms or who isn't crying for its mother's milk anymore. So that's what I would say about that verse. And then the last verse that you read, verse 3, it was just saying that we can put our hope in the Lord and we can do it now and forever. We can always hope in him. He is our hope. He is hope.
Exactly. And we're kind of back where we started. We started the program axing in the idea that we want Front Porch Talks to be a half hour of hope for your life. And the reason we said that is because we meant it. And we know where hope is. We find it on the pages of parchment called the Holy Word of God. But we also know the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ himself. He became flesh and dwelt among us. It won't be too long, Grace, and Christmas will be coming. And we'll be celebrating the idea of just how near God came when he gave his only Son, the Word, the truth, to come to be with us and to rescue us from all of the traps and all of the storms and all of the enemies that we could ever face in our lifetime. And so, friends, that is hope. Hope in Jesus Christ. We want to leave you with a little bit of music today, so we pray you'll lean in. We have some dear friends who allow us to use their music on this program, and we are so blessed by it, and we hope you are. You know, if you've never written to us at Front Porch Talks, you can do it anytime. You can just make a card out to Front Porch Talks, 1871 Boyers Road, 1871 Boyers Road, Harrisonburg, Virginia, 22801. You don't need to include anything in it. Just let us know you're out there and let us know that there's hope in your life. That's 1871 Boyers Road, Harrisonburg, Virginia, 22801. Just address it, Front Porch Talks. And now here's some music to bless your heart.
When our lives are in the balance, there is a hope for us. When our hearts seem cold and callous, there is a love. And it's deeper than all the mysteries, and it's greater than our failed history. And it will prevail, yes, he remembers us. There is a love. There is a love. There is a love. There is a hope for us. And when our they should be, there is a hope for us. When we're warm and safe and dry, there is a love. So through our joys and all our sorrows, with the one who has lived our tomorrows, with his unseen hand to guide and shelter us, there is a love. There is a love. There is a love. There is a hope for us.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.